Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I, again, am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, here, as per usual, with Aaron Flodden. How are we today, Aaron?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons to be in a good mood today, John.
Yeah.
I would have to say.
Yes. Yeah. If you're not...
In a single sentence, yes.
Yeah.
I'm doing great, John. How about you?
Fantastic. And I mean, if you're not happy in Wisconsin right now, you haven't been paying attention, I guess. I don't know. Let's say we're going to start with Packers today because we're going to end this show with your NL Central Division champion, Milwaukee Brewers. As it just happened today as we're recording this, of course, on Monday. And work stopped in Wisconsin as everybody was trying to get ready to watch the Brewers today. But I, Aaron, got to go watch the Packers live from Lambeau Field. My wife Trina, as part of a anniversary / Christmas / birthday / Father's Day gift, got tickets more expensive than she should have for me. They were front row, section 119, basically 50-yard line front row. So
which side?
On the Bills side.
Okay.
Yeah, so I
that's awesome.
We could hear the Bills' phones ringing. It sounds like some sort like they don't sound like phones. They sound like if you were in an arcade in the early 80s and maybe won a ton of tickets and there's like a and you're like, "Oh my goodness, what is that?" But it would just ring. At one point, somebody was calling down clearly, but it was at halftime when everybody was already off the field and was just going. And it was just strange. It's like somebody was the king of skee ball was going on right there. But yeah, at one point,
I was a little bit jealous. I did see your pictures on Twitter and Facebook, and yep, that's better than I've ever seen at that stadium.
They're pretty great. Josh Allen was right in front of us at one point talking on the phone. He hung it up. I was like, "Don't listen to him, Josh. You're doing great. Keep it up. Just keep throwing it out of bounds.
Don't do what you did last week. Don't do that thing again. Just keep doing what you're doing." That's awesome.
This woman next to us at one point, Jimmy Graham had a couple drops in this game, and it was very frustrating because between the 20s, he's worthless. He's only good inside the 20. But he dropped a couple passes over the middle, and he had one right around the 50. And the woman next to us just yells out, she's like, "That's Jordy's money, you!" It's, you know, an expletive. I was like, "Oh, wow." And everyone just kind of like, "Ooh, hurtful.
Well, his performance in last week's game kind of fueled some of that fire, too, I'm sure. I didn't catch all the Cleveland-Oakland game. I don't know if he had another good game or not, but that would have been afterwards anyhow, so it didn't make a difference. But, yeah, he exploded in week three, and I think a lot of the Packer faithful were, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. He didn't do much last year, and you know I understand the decision. I wish they'd offered him more. He'd be nice to have on a small contract, but – you know, they only offered him $1 million, so you just kind of you understand him leaving, and I understand the Packers moving on from him. But
absolutely.
Yeah, one of the other great things on the game is the Bills fans were very good. They were not as Bills Mafia as you see them when they're at their home games. They were pretty gentle and nice. There were these two guys over my left shoulder who were wonderful. They're both from Erie, Pennsylvania, and they were just fantastic. They sat their whole time. I mean, they were talking for their team and they're yelling "Go Buffalo" and all that. The guy over my right shoulder, there was a Packer fan between them, and he was the Packer fan over my right shoulder. It was friends with the Buffalo guy next to him. That guy pregame like crazy, apparently, because he was pretty well lit by the time he got into the stadium. And he was just screaming everything at everybody, just cursing out everything. And the two Buffalo guys over my left shoulder, it's like, "Hey, man, shut up. These people are being really nice to us. Just leave them alone." That guy one point admitted, he goes, "Yeah, this is no fun. You guys are too nice. I'd have been punched in the face by now if I was back in Buffalo. Come on." It's so great.
Having been to, those AFC games where you play them once every 4 years, I was telling you during pre-production here that during production that that I was at the Houston or the Tennessee Titans Packers game circa 2005 or so. And the Packers, it was a beautiful Monday night game. It was awesome. It was when Madden was still on Monday nights. We got there. The weather was great. It was a September game, 72 outside, perfect. Brett Favre. It was my first ever game at Lambeau Field. I know, late in life, but when you live way up north, it's hard to get to those games. And they ended up losing 56-10. But I'll tell you what, there was no animosity between us and the Titans fans that were there. You know, it was, you know, like a couple kids, you know, would like give them a little bit of a little bit of heckling. But, you know, the rest of us are like, they're Titans fans. Like, we have, unless we're playing each other in the Super Bowl, we have no beef with each other whatsoever.
Well, and you were at the 0-16 Lions game too, correct?
I was, and that ended in a nice softball there. That ended in a very weird scenario, because at first it was the last game of, what would that have been, 2008?
I'm forgetting offhand.
7-8, yeah, because no, last game of 2008-9, because 2 weeks later we were in Florida for XETC. Jeez. And it started off at the beginning of the game. The whole stadium was 0-16, 0-16, Detroit sucks, you know, stuff like that. Well, by about the third quarter, when we realized that, and the Packers weren't that good that year. It was Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter. They were 6-10. By the time that game came about halfway through the third quarter, and we were all realizing, oh, man, Detroit's gonna go 0-16. And that was about the same time the recession hit. Detroit was going through horrible, horrible things with GM and Ford and all the automobile factories shutting down, and it got real quiet in that stadium. And one of the greatest moments in my fandom was, as we were walking out of the stadium, some 23, 24-year-old drunk kid was making fun of a Detroit fan walking out, and some guy in his mid-60s grabbed that kid by the collar, stood him up against a light pole, and started screaming into his face, "This isn't how Packers fans act. You need to leave these people. Detroit's had a hard year. You leave them alone. Now get the hell out of here." And it was like, so I was just sitting there slack-jawed watching this happen. And I'm like, this might be the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. A Packer fan just chewed out another Packer fan for making fun of a Detroit fan. And
I think we've seen that in a couple different places too. I had an experience like that I was at the game where Dez Bryant absolutely dropped that ball, because he dropped that ball, and he didn't catch it; he dropped it. According to the rules of the NFL as they existed at the time, which were very clear to all of us who read them, he dropped that ball, and my dad and I were way up top; we were way up high, and there were a couple guys behind us, wherever. And we're talking with him the whole game and everything. And there's this Dallas fan across the way from us here. At one point, this guy says something to this Dallas fan. And we're just like, man, look, they had a good year. Just leave him be. This guy probably came from quite a ways to watch his team. Right. Let him watch his team. And we're like, just shut up, would you? And this is my dad and I just telling this guy to just be quiet and let him watch a game. The guy's like, I forget where he was from. He wasn't from Texas. He was from somewhere else. But he was so happy to be at Lambeau Field. And I mean, and these Buffalo fans behind me, they were so happy to be at Lambeau Field. The one guy was like a 29-year military vet, and they drove from Erie, Pennsylvania to Green Bay.
That's a legit 16-hour drive right there.
Yeah, and they're like, we're driving back tomorrow. Tonight, we drink. I was like, well, he came to the right place.
That's what Bills fans do. Hey, I'm backtracking. One of the high points of a low point, like a 56-0 thromping at home against a AFC division or non-division opponent. By the end of that game, there was only about 100 people left in that stadium. So we were all sitting front row, and we got to watch Craig Knoll take over in all of his greatness. And my friend Kevin and Donnie ended up on the opposite side of the stadium from me and Brandon, and we were sitting in each end zone screaming. The game's still going on. Hey, Kevin, what's going on? Nothing. This game is horrible. You know, and other choice words. And we could hear each other across the field, because as big as that stadium is, when there's nobody in there, it's just across the football field. It's not that big. And our friends at home said they could hear us on Monday Night Football on the crowd mic.
Well, if you want to look for me, if you've got that that one saved somewhere on the TiVo or whatever you use for your DVR, I was at the 50-yard line wearing my Green Bay Packers hooded sweatshirt and a Milwaukee Brewers cap because. And we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. A couple of my buddies from high school were also there. And we ran into each other because the Badger Band was there as well, which you may not have known from being on TV. But Badger Band stayed for the fifth quarter, which is fantastic. And being a UW graduate myself, I know all the dances and I know all the words. So even the naughty ones. But it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Takeaways from this game, though, from me. As I said, first thing, Jimmy Graham doesn't show up between the 20s. He just doesn't. And he had a great touchdown on what was a very well-designed play. Jimmy Graham off the edge there with the fake handoff, Rodgers rolling a couple steps out and hitting that pass. That was really good. That was a great designed play, and McCarthy deserves credit for that well-designed play. What McCarthy deserves some blame for is he just gives up on some of these third and seven or more. He's just like, okay, let's just hand it off and make sure we don't screw up here. And part of that
on third 11 to either Jones or Jamal Anderson.
Jamal Williams.
And Aaron Nagler immediately tweeted out,
yeah.
Why not just punt on third down then?
Yeah, Aaron Nagler does a great job of pointing some of those up. But you're like, yeah, just punt on third down. And I don't know. Part of it is we had a good lead. We were playing well. We weren't afraid of that offense at any point in that game. It is a thing that we do, and I think also we have a quarterback who's kind of hurt, though he didn't look bad. Like, he looked mobile. He looked capable back there, but I think the injury is showing in the fact that he seems to – he doesn't have the sharpness that he normally has, and some of that just might be he didn't play in the preseason. He played four passes, five downs in the preseason, and that might be just part of it. He missed a couple guys on some slants and some routes over the middle that were long gains, if not touchdowns, several of them. And just he overthrew the slant.
Yes.
And he had a couple other plays. He just missed guys. There was the one that was just tipped a little bit, the interception. It was slightly tipped to the line. And then Jimmy Graham, of course, decides to bat the ball straight up into the air, you know, like you do. And that became a pick. And that was well off and behind him. It was tipped a little bit, but, I mean, even if you bring that in halfway, it's hitting him in the back shoulder rather than leading him somewhere. He wasn't bad. I'm not trying to say that Aaron Rodgers looked bad in any way. He just doesn't look like himself yet. And some of that just might be his stride is off from the leg, and some of it just might be he did not practice in game speed like we told. Like we wanted him to.
I've heard that from more former pro football players this year than I've ever heard before in my life, with how sloppy it's looked through the first 4 weeks for every team, except for the LA Rams.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming from Jared Goff the other night. Wow.
Anyways,
perfect passer rating with over 30 passes and 5 touchdowns. That was insane. Anyways, George Kuntz brought it up during the Packer pregame on TV, and he went at length about it. And it was just that it looks like how everybody looks like game one of the season now is how everybody – like some things are clicking and some aren't. And I mean, he hasn't looked sharp. Some people want to blame it on drop balls. You know, Lance Kendricks had a really bad drop ball last week in Washington. Randall dropped three or four.
Oh, yeah. Devontae's had at least one a game that he really should have had.
Right. Oh, by the way, stat of the day. Did you catch that during the broadcast that the Buffalo Bills have dropped 12% of targeted passes to them going into the game?
I didn't catch anything in the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were in the stands. Never mind. So there I was watching the CBS broadcast, and it was Ian Eagle brought up the fact that Buffalo Bills receivers have dropped 12% of the passes thrown to them going into yesterday's game. And I don't think they did any favors to that stat yesterday. But, yeah, you're right. He's not sharp. There's times – I mean, he took off running. I mean, obviously that knee's feeling better. What did he have? He was – 5 rushes for 31 yards and a long of 15. I mean, he took off a
nice
couple
run.
Times. But, I mean, he was 22 of 40 yesterday.
Yeah, and rating of 76.9. Yeah.
If I'm correct, he's still the all-time – I mean, he's, as of right now, is still the all-time highest-rated passer in NFL history, right?
Right, and this is going to, I mean, hurt, but he's played enough games at this point that it doesn't kill anything. The Bills aren't a bad defense. I mean, they've got some players on that side of the ball that can really do some stuff. That was really their only hope, is that they were going to kind of keep us. I mean, they did just beat up that Vikings team a week ago, and that Vikings team scored on us, and that Vikings team scored on the Rams this last week. They can move the ball around. They did not do so at home against this Bills defense. But, yeah, I mean, they're 1-3 because they started Peterman, who I can only think of Office Space when I hear him. It's like, hey, Peterman!
Peterman, Channel 38!
Hey, Peterman, check out Channel 38! Yeah, like that's all I can think of. And I told one of the Bills fans that, they're like, "Oh my goodness, I never thought of that. That's perfect."
Even Bills fans can't defend Peterman.
Oh no, I got a great photo of him because he was right in front of us at one point. It's like, there he is, there he is. He's the unicorn. He's maybe the worst quarterback I've ever watched play. I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen anything worse than what he did. Yeah,
I don't know. We did have to endure the Anthony Dilwig days, but
Lavi Dilwig's kid
and every Bears quarterback since 1990. So.
Well, I don't know. None of them threw, what, 4 interceptions on each of their first 2 starts. Right. I don't know. Josh Allen, that kid's going to be decent. He's got a big arm. He's got some stuff. I don't know what was going on with his throw the other day. You know, maybe he's underthrowing. Maybe he got too excited and he's shortening his stride. Maybe he just needs to work on that accuracy. Either one of those 2 things. Somebody who's going to be watching a lot more film than me is going to pull that stuff apart. But he was overthrowing everything. The ball was going over guys' heads out of bounds. He was just missing everybody.
He's got a long release. You know, he has a lot of the same problems that Aaron Rodgers would have had when he first came into the league. But Aaron Rodgers sat the bench for 2-3 years and got that out of his system. Josh Allen, everyone knew this kid was going to be a project. But he doesn't have the luxury of sitting behind somebody. And so in typical Bills, Browns, bad team fashion, he's going to be thrown out there with bad mechanics and have to learn on the fly. He beat the Vikings last week with his legs. It wasn't his arm.
And I'll say this too.
I mean, he's got a big arm, but I mean, man, the Packers just were a team that had 6 sacks going in, had 7 sacks yesterday.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, they were in the backfield the whole game. The kid, and that's something the Vikings didn't do last week. The Vikings let him sit back there, paint the lawn furniture and watch it dry and then thrill.
One of the great articles I read and went through this week or getting ready for this week here was Paul Noonan over at Acme Packing had something about Noonan. It was at Badger Noonan on Twitter if you want to follow him too. He had a good article about people are overreacting to Josh Allen playing against the Vikings and saying that's a great defense. He had good stuff, and they won, so he's clearly doing great. And he went through and looked at everything. He said, yeah, they threw a lot of bubble screens. They threw a lot of short passes. He threw a lot of little dink and stuff like that, and it kind of boosted his numbers. So he said, he's not doing as well as you think he is. He's kind of overrated based on that performance. And he got a lot of flack from people coming in. They're like, oh, this is laughable. This guy's not even doing anything. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And then, you know, he went out there and he was 16 of 33 for 151 yards, a rating of 36.3, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 4.6 yards an average, a QBR. QBR, this is wonderful, 5.4. Yeah, he didn't look good. I'm surprised at this. Why didn't Buffalo run the ball way more than they did? They threw 33 times. LeSean McCoy, who I know has had some injuries and stuff, 5 carries. Chris Ivory, 6 carries. Josh Allen had 5 carries. He was right there. He's the second leading rusher with 19 yards. Just couldn't get the ball to their running backs. Why don't you just throw it to LeSean McCoy in space? Anything. But
John, I'm going to do a little bit of Vikings bashing here to jump onto your point. So
I don't know if that's allowed. No, that's allowed.
Yeah. Wait, did we change the constitution of this show? Was there an amendment somewhere?
Right.
I thought that was the first part of the preamble was we will bash on Vikings and Bears whenever we get a chance. I mean, I haven't looked at the constitution yet. It's what you told me it was.
And the Lions again, if they become relevant someday.
They were on the verge of becoming relevant after beating the Patriots, but then they stunk it up in Dallas. Anyways, so the worst team in the NFL, arguably, is the Arizona Cardinals, who the Bears almost lost to, mind you. They've only scored 37 points. Now, to their credit, they've also only given up 94 points, which isn't bad for a bottom feeder team. So, on the other hand, the Buffalo Bills have only scored 50 points this year, and they've given up 106 points. Now, if I do my math correctly, they've scored 50 points. Over half of those were against the Vikings. And out of those 100 points allowed, 106 points allowed, 100 of them were to other teams. Only 6 points were to the Vikings on a garbage touchdown at the end that actually gave me a win in fantasy football because I had Kyle Rudolph on my team.
Yeah, they gave up 31 to the Chargers. They gave up 47 to the Ravens, but that was when they were – I think some of that was offensive and Ravens defense getting some plays too.
I love how people break down defenses and how good team defense, blah, 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 versus scoring defense, blah, 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 whatever. What it all comes down to in the end is points allowed, points forced. And a couple of years ago, I remember the Packers had just a ridiculous points forced against points allowed in a losing season where it was almost even because they beat the Saints like 56-3 and it threw it all off. But, you know, so blowouts, you can account for those. But, okay, so the Vikings have given up 110 points so far this year. Other teams that have given up more than them, San Francisco, pretty much everybody in the NFC South except for the Panthers.
Okay.
The Lions, the Chargers, Oakland, Pittsburgh, who's having an equally as bad season.
And a lot of teams that played the Rams.
Yeah, a lot of teams have played the Rams and and anybody who played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first 3 weeks. So, yeah. I mean, they're not. You tweeted me something about, you know, everyone wants to call this year the fluke for the Vikings. I'm more on your side. You said maybe last year was the fluke.
Anthony Barr doesn't look so good right now. I don't know. So I guess we'll find out more.
Him.
Yeah.
People from the fan were tweeting. They're targeting Barr, and this isn't good.
That's all right. He's gone next year anyhow, and they know it because they don't have the money for him.
He hasn't been – well, he was about to hold out because they weren't going to give him an extension. He must have gotten pulled into a room and said, we're not going to give you an extension anyways.
They only got $2.6 million in salary cap this year. That's all they have left.
We're going to give all of our money to this guy who is going to pull a gun at a hotel and lay on the floor.
Well, I hope for those who don't know Everson Griffin, I hope he gets the help he needs, and that can be a terrible thing. So. The other thing that we need to take away from this is Aaron Jones needs to get the ball way more. Just way more. He's very clearly the most talented. That screen pass, if you haven't watched it, you go find yourself a YouTube. You go find yourself one of the tweets that pushed that out. That screen pass was ridiculous. And you know the one I'm talking about. Like, he gets it. He makes a couple cuts. Reads his blocks very well. The line got out there. Took out the first guy right away. Cut behind his lineman. He got kind of hit around the leg, spun around, gets his hand to the ground and keeps himself upright and gains another 5 yards after being essentially a hit that would have tackled any of the other Packers running backs. And he just found a way to keep his feet underneath him and not go down and got the first down. Man, and he had like 80-some-odd yards on 12 touches. Ty Montgomery had 80-some-odd yards on 12 touches. Jamal Williams had 11 touches for 27 yards. They're like, something's wrong here.
Well, there was a takeaway from this, and I did see this on TV, and you probably would have caught this unless that you watched like a comprehensive all 22 or something like that. But I did catch this, and if you have a differing opinion from me, at Cheddar Talk, that's where you can find me at Twitter, at Cheddar Talk, just like how it is.
And we'll give out his home address later.
At Scotty Johnny for the show as well, and at JBarn54 for John. But throw all your negative shade at me for this one. They're not giving Jones the ball that much because he's fragile. He is, believe it. Because last year, he had two torn MCLs. He has a history of getting hurt. And if you actually to watch, I think it was at the end of that screen pass, he got tackled and his arm was in a weird position. He was about an inch away from having a broken humerus. And that's not an overstatement. He was on the post game and was watching the video with them. And they showed the end of it. And he's like, oh, my arm. Like, he, like, didn't even notice that his arm was, because it was almost like an arm bar tackle. Like, his arm was back and his entire body weight landed on it. Had it been another inch, it would have snapped his arm. McCarthy came out and said something along the lines of, we're not playing him as much as we probably should because we're scared of him getting hurt. He can't say we're scared of him getting hurt. He's the head coach. You don't say these things because then you just don't, because even if it's the truth. And so you're gonna have to have Jamal Williams in there. Ty Montgomery proved his worth out of the backfield yesterday as a receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he had a couple good ones.
And I honestly, and I hate to say it, but I think as much as we don't, because I feel the same way, like, give this guy the ball. Give this guy the ball. And then regurgitating some of the information today and hearing a couple other opinions on it, it's like he might be a gadget player at best. He might be a Darren Sproles-ish kind of, you know, he'll never be a lead back, but dang, when he gets the ball, he's going to make it. I mean, Sproles has made a living off huge plays in very small sample sizes. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah.
I don't know. I still think, like, you have a weapon, you use the weapon. You don't play football to keep guys from getting hurt. You play. You just play. You play to win the game. I don't know. I mean, we didn't have to do it in this game. This game's not a good example of it because we were going to win this game. There was never really any doubt. The only question was if they were going to score on us or not. The 7 sacks, 2 interceptions. Yeah, that was a very good game. And speaking of sacks, I'm going to let Aaron go here because Aaron and I had our little Twitter spat here. Aaron, why don't you tell us about the glory, the heroism that is
Oh, come on. You know, that's all.
Kyle R. Fackrell.
I don't know. Fackrell, he ends up with 3 sacks, and I knew you were at the game, but I was still Twittering at you because Wayne Larrivee was heaping praise on Fackrell, and I knew you weren't hearing it.
No.
It's just like if John would be hanging his head right now if he could hear Kyle Fackrell getting praise heaped on. What a game by Fackrell. An amazing coming out. This is what we've been waiting for. And all I could think was John Barnett in the back of his head going, no.
He's like 37 years old.
He's been in the league since 1998. He's been on every practice squad.
No. Yes. No. He was like 25 when he came out, right?
Oh, you're being serious.
I'm dead serious. He I don't know what he did beforehand. He went to BYU, but he didn't do the mission. I'm forgetting what it was, but he was like 25 when he was drafted. And so you're like, "Oh, well maybe he makes a big turn." You're like, "No, he's already 25." He's at the height of his career when he was drafted. It's downhill from here, basically. I think he's 27 now.
He's 26, but he'll turn 27 in mid-November.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, you're right. Maybe he was – was he one of those – he might have been one of those 6-year injury red shirts where they give him the extra year.
Or he started late in college. Something happened. I can't remember what it was, but I know he didn't get out of college. So he's 24, turning 25 soon. So yeah, you're like he's already past the high point of his career, and he's like, man.
I don't know, John. You know how they have the stats on ESPN? He's now projected to have 12 sacks this season.
Aaron, this game was the high point of his career. This is him at Gettysburg reaching the wall and then losing from there on out. This is the high water mark of the Kyler Fackrell era. I hope we all enjoyed it. It was fun. It was fun while it lasted.
So last week was Jared Allen's high point of his career, and this week was Fackrell's high
Josh
point
Allen,
of his
Josh Allen, not Jared Allen.
No, I'm going with Jared. It's stuck in my head.
It's terrible if last week was the high point of Jared Allen's career because he's not going anywhere soon. Byron Bell too. We should put this out there. Played great, going in at the guard spot and having a game like he did. Really helped out the team and really solidified that line for this game. The Bills don't have a terrible pass rush. They definitely didn't get a ton on it. The only two real sacks they had, they brought just more guys than they had to keep them in. And they're bringing corners and safeties off the edges. And that's how they got in. And those kind of sacks are actually, that's on Aaron. He's got to know who's at the line and who's coming. And the ball's got to get out. He's got to read that. And he normally is the master of that. Like, you throw it right to where the guy vacated. And they brought blitzing corners, and he didn't see it twice, and that's what happened there. But other than that, good game generally.
The Bills' defense isn't bad. I mean, that was the strength of their team last year, and they didn't lose a lot off their defense from this year to
they traded Darius
last year. What's that?
They traded Darius last year in the middle of the year to Jacksonville because Jacksonville needed help on their defense, apparently.
Yes, I'm just saying though that they still made the playoffs, and most of what the defense was in the playoffs is still there. It was their offense that they really gutted during the offseason for the most part, if I'm remembering it correctly. So I mean, their defense isn't bad. Their defense showed up against, you know, I say that, but they've given up how many other points? 33 points a game in every other game, because if they've given up 106 points through 4 games and they only gave up 6 to the Vikings, that's 33 points per game. And Leslie Frazier got fired.
Yeah. From play calling. And some of it's just that they were
I'm trying to get some positives out of this game, John. Okay.
There were positives here. This is the kind of game you want if you're coaching the Packers, because you get to say, yes, we won. We won and it looked good, but I have a ton of things that I want to go over on the film on Monday or Tuesday, or film Monday, practice Tuesday. We need to get those things fixed, because there were enough errors in this game that there's still stuff to coach on. So there's always that to help out with and to say that's an important part.
How much is Aaron Rodgers' after-game comments about not getting the right play calling? And he's kind of chiming into what a lot of us fans are. We watch, like, the L.A. Rams play on Thursday night, and we watch Max Williams line up in a slot off the guard position last night in the Ravens game to make a catch. Did you catch that one?
I missed that one.
Max Williams. So the Ravens lined up, and so you got your center, guard, tackle, end to the right, and then they put a slot between the center and the guard to the left, the left of the center, and they brought back Max Williams about a yard back. After further review, it should have been called illegal because he wasn't far enough back. But he was in a three-point stance, and he ran right through that gap and did an out to the right-hand side, and they threw it to him, and he was wide open because he came from a slot where the guard should be.
Okay, I did see that on a replay somewhere, so yeah, that was interesting. I guess I didn't know it was Max Williams from the U of M.
Brilliant play. But, you know, Rodgers was saying something about that, calling up McCarthy's play calling and, like, not being able to get it to his playmakers. And, I mean, what do you make of that? Is there any spine to that, or is that just – I'm sorry, he's all of our favorite player, but Aaron Rodgers does have a tendency to be whiny once in a while.
Yeah, that is sadly true. Well, if he wants to get the ball in the hands of his playmakers, why doesn't he just throw it to him? I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is also notorious for holding the ball like a second longer than he ought to. And I don't know. I guess I don't take much out of it. He wants to do something. He's frustrated. The offense did not click like he wanted it to. They did not finish drives like we wanted to. They kicked a lot of field goals, and it would have been, you know, better to get some of those other plays finished up and get in the end zone. But
maybe that post-game whining was about the equivalent to what the old lady next to you was when Jimmy Graham finally dropped that
she
ball.
She was not old.
Jordy Nelson's money.
that woman was, I don't know, she was probably 30.
It was the equivalent. She was only 30?
Maybe. But yeah, around there.
We're going to have to find out next week here against Detroit. Detroit, sneaky good. I'll give them that. I mean, they're not bad. They're just Detroit, as usual.
I think they're bad.
It's Detroit, though, man. I mean, and Matthew Stafford's not a bad quarterback. They show up once in a while.
See, this is where you and I have disagreed for years. I don't think Stafford's that good a quarterback.
He's probably going to he's on track. He's going to be passing Drew Brees he's going to pass Brett Favre for sure. But if he stays on his current, I mean, he's, what, 32? And he's already at 50,000 yards.
Like, he throws 50 to 60 times a game. All his entire offense, his entire career, has been throwing more than everybody. He's a volume quarterback. He's great on fantasy. His actual ability, though, it just hasn't been good. They just had a 100-yard rusher for the first time since Reggie Bush.
That's not Matthew Stafford's fault.
I know, but they don't.
I get what you're saying, though.
They don't hand the ball off ever. All they do is throw with him. He had Calvin Johnson and couldn't win. He couldn't get into the playoffs and win one playoff game.
At the end of his career, he is ahead, and Aaron Rodgers will not break the all-time yardage record because how late he was a starter. I mean, unless he plays till he's 45.
Who knows?
Matthew Stafford, if he retires as the leading passer for yards, can you deny him the Hall of Fame?
Yes, because he was never at any time one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. And you got to compare him to the people he's going against. You look at him and you say, there was never a point where I considered him to be one of the top 5 to 10, or maybe top 10, but not 5 or 6. He's never been that guy. He has never gotten one MVP vote at a quarterback position in which he was throwing the ball all the time.
He's been feasting on all those Packer, Vikings, and Bears defenses his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, like right now he's got 1,202 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 5 picks. This could be an interesting game. I think the Packers are going to do well.
Has over 1,200 yards right now. Fitzmagic, who is now the backup quarterback again.
That's true. The other big thing for this matchup next week is that Lions will be without Ziggy Ansah again, it looks like. He's listed as out currently for next week. TJ Lang, questionable. He's also got to be like 50. Michael Roberts at tight end. Quandre Diggs at corner. And Tavon Wilson at safety. A couple injuries there for next week. We still don't know about Justin McCray, but he can stay out as long as Byron Bell plays like he did. We'd like to get Randall Cobb back for next week. Geronimo still listed as questionable. Kevin King currently listed as out. I guess we'll have to see how those update as we go forward. I still like the Packers' look against this team. And I just the only win they have is when Matty Patty went up against his former team and knew how they were going to run that offense. And that seems to be it. And I love calling him Matty Patty.
I do too. I approve of that.
There was a Twitter cartoon of him. It's like unbridled optimism, and it's like this smiling fat cartoon guy. Oh, that's so great! Look that up, Matty Patty.
A side note: who'd ever thought that two influential people in the NFC North would be named Ziggy? I'll let you do the math on that one.
An African American named Ziggy.
Yes,
not the short, big nosed guy.
Yeah. Oh, my Minnesota Vikings.
No, I mean like the cartoon Ziggy, the little short, big nose guy. I don't know. Yeah.
Yes.
Ziggy,
you know. Sorry.
Not like him at all.
My Ziggy Wilf joke exploded in my face. I'm sorry.
Oh, Ziggy Wilf.
So what you're saying about Aaron Jones earlier, though, he might actually see the field more next week because he's going to have to. Because if Allison's out and Cobb can't get his hamstring put back together, I mean, we're going to be running. I mean, we might see Ty Montgomery back out at the slot with Valdes-Scanlon out on the
MVS.
Other wide receiver, because what else are we going to do?
Yeah, MVS had a nice catch last week, showed his speed, got downfield. It was nice. I still think...
And got torn apart by Aaron Rodgers on the sideline because it was almost an interception. But, hey, you know.
That's fine. It was it's a nice game. They got some things to work on. I think they'll beat the Lions next week, and I think we'll be looking at 3-1-1, which is still kind of depressing, having to deal with the Bears being 3-1 right now. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how it goes. I think the Packers win next week. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna chalk it up. As much as I don't like playing any division team, and man, the Bears looked good yesterday. That's a heck of a
defense they've got.
Yeah, they do. Anyways. I think the Packers are going to win, and even though it's going to be in Detroit, which in the past we've also learned that the Packers can be losing an entire game the entire time and then finally win on an untimed play. So, yes, until further notice, the Packers are going to beat Detroit in every game and bet on it.
Yeah, okay. So we are finally where we wanted to be, where I told you last week we would be, which is – Division champion, NL Central Division champion, Milwaukee Brewers. After,
hold on, John.
Right. Right. What do you
Cheers.
Have? We're at the barley pop portion of this. We have champions in the room. I have I've got my spotted cow. I don't know where you're at here. What do you got there?
I have a Minnesota beer, a Bent Paddle.
Ah, okay.
But it's my jam. I'm sorry. That's what
no,
I
that's
do.
Fine. That's fine.
I live there. It's a brewery. Check it out.
And you know I've got New Glarus, which is only available if you're in Wisconsin. And we're having this is a banner day. I was telling Aaron the way I was listening to the game and watching the game on my phone. I was in a courthouse and the alarms went off and they told us all we had to leave right before a hearing I had to handle. And then they brought us back in. One of the judges left the courthouse entirely and went out to his car and turned on his radio. It was fantastic. Everybody was interested. Everybody was talking about it, and getting back into the courtroom, everybody was sharing the wonderful win, and it was perfect. It was perfect because it was sweeping the Cardinals to clinch at least a wild card, to clinch a playoff berth. Sweeping the Cardinals in St. Louis, champagne in St. Louis, and then beating the Cubs at Wrigley, take the division, champagne at Wrigley. Love it. Perfect ending for a Brewers, and Yelich is MVP. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, Harold Reynolds will still disagree with that as of this morning, but yes.
I don't care.
So he was still the Javi Baez buzz. Anyways, yeah, no, I was, as you know, I just recently moved from Duluth down to Janesville, Wisconsin, And so I've had these coworkers for about 8 months now, and nothing really exciting in sports. You know, last week, but I was at home for the St. Louis game, and I was making the playoffs. I was tempered, and it was the Cardinals, who we all hate, but it's just like, you know. But after a couple weeks back, which what was the stat that since Cole Hamels called out Brewers fans, he's 0-3. The Javi Baez's batting average has dropped 10, 15 points, whatever. And then when you could hear go Brewers go, and yeah, they were cheering, and at the end of the game, that place was packed, and Zombie Ryan Braun showed up to torture Cubs fans yet again, and then get caught stealing at second.
Of course.
Typical. Anyways, so my new coworkers who have only known me for 8 months, I was avoiding. I love the Brewers. I love Euchre. I had to get work done today. We're very busy. I'm trying to avoid it. I'm going to just pick up my phone at 4:30 and see how the game was, and then go, yes, all right, or no. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there working next to my coworker, and all of a sudden I hear the game on his phone. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I've got Sling. I just pulled it up. It's on ESPN. It's the seventh inning. It's still 1-1. I'm like, no, you can't do this. So there I am watching a 3-inch by 1-inch, 1.5-inch screen for the next 3 innings, screaming at this guy's desk.
Nice.
And luckily for me, one of my other female coworkers is equally as passionate about the game, and we're standing there just screaming. And he goes into about the 8th inning, he's like, oh, they're up 3-1, I'm gonna close it down now. We're like, if you touch that phone, we're gonna break your fingers. Next thing you know, we're out on the drill floor running circles, screaming at the top of our lungs. And I wish I could have been in Milwaukee for that one, or in Chicago, and watching the end of the game when the Brewers were out partying on the field and taking their pictures. And somebody must have told the Brewers, like, hey, you need to get them back out on the field because there's still 20,000 Milwaukee fans in the stands cheering.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there.
The Brewers did something, it was like vice versa. It was instead of Wrigley Field North, it was Miller Park South today.
Yeah, and Zach Halperin had a tweet about that, and I retweeted it. If you want to check out, again, me at jbarn54, you can find that there were easily, like you said, 20,000 people there still at the end of the game, chanting and cheering, and several of them were following Mark Attanasio down to the locker room, just chanting, "Let's go Brewers!" the whole way down. It was so great and just wonderful. Like I said, beating the evil empires of Chicago and St. Louis in their buildings on our way to getting this game was fantastic. And now they get a couple days off. Chacin was wonderful. He's been incredible this whole stretch here. Just an incredible pickup the Brewers made this year. Stearns has been just magic. The fact that we got big moments from Kratz, big moments from Kane, and Yelich, an RBI away from a Triple Crown. You can't argue that Javi Baez is the MVP when there's an RBI away from the Triple Crown. And in this game, in the game that mattered most in this entire thing, Yelich has an RBI to give the Brewers their first lead, which became 1-1 later. He went 3-for-4 with an RBI, and Javi Baez had one hit. He went 1-for-4, and his one hit came when they were down by 2 in the bottom of the 9th with 2 outs. He got one hit, and then Rizzo popped out for the last out. In the biggest games, Yelich was way better than Javi Baez.
So when we were there too, like when Rizzo hit that, the one at the end, and everyone started cheering, I immediately went, "Oh, he's out!" Because Cubs fans cheer for pop outs.
Yeah,
like,
because
this is like I knew it wasn't going out as soon as they all started cheering, because if it's a high fly ball, they don't cheer for home runs until it's gone, because a home run looks different than a pop out. But Cubs fans are dumb because most of them don't know baseball. They've all just become fans in the last 3 years.
Oh, well.
Anyhow, moving along.
Jeez.
And Hader, a 2-inning
save. Yeah. And I thought they were going to save him. They were talking about it all game, like they were going to save him and try to do it somewhere else. But he definitely got in there and played great and had a very good game getting through the last couple of innings there.
gets a day off, and they didn't have to use Jeffress.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they. And a lot of people, you got to forget, and a lot of people forget this too, is that Craig Counsell now has to, thank God he gets a day off.
2 days.
Instead of playing tomorrow and then starting on Thursday. Because the Brewers have to cut 15 people between now and Thursday.
Yeah, that's true. Getting out of the
play. From a 40-man roster back down to a 25-man playoff roster.
Yep.
So, you know, but not to put a downer on the day, but that's coming up next. But, let's not forget, who's the shortstop that we have that can't hit?
Arcia. He's hit all right this week. I mean, he's done well down the stretch.
Four for four today.
Yeah, down the stretch he was hitting all right. He didn't do terribly. So,
right. Euker said it when he was on Dan Patrick last week. He said about Arcia, he's like, this guy's going to be one of the best shortstop in baseball in the next couple of years. And in the biggest stage ever, game 163, he goes 4 for 4. And just, I mean, he ended up scoring a run, right?
Yes, he did score. He scored the go-ahead run today. Lorenzo Cain brought him in.
Right, that's it. Yeah, Lorenzo Cain, too. There's another one.
Yeah, just the number of guys who were brought in this year by Stearns who were massive contributors to this team was fantastic. And the number of guys who contributed big down the stretch who weren't on the team when we started camp. I mean, Gio Gonzalez yesterday. Who else? Soria. Soria's been great coming in there. It's just been a number of different people coming in and making plays. Moustakas, Granderson coming in and doing things. It's just, all the moves worked. All the moves worked. It was wonderful. And it's just so great to see. And here's the thing that there was some guy on Twitter talking about, like, you know, the Brewers being very excited about this. There's an article, I can't remember where it was, about how the Brewers turned it around in just 3 years from going from nothing to being a contender and being great again. And some guy's like, well, the Yankees did it in one, but, you know, whatever, good for you. And you're like, it's not the same game. They're not playing the same game. This is the biggest problem with baseball. And what hurts us most about baseball is you have to be – if the Brewers had missed on any of those moves, they don't get here. They just don't. Right. You have to play it perfectly.
Pittsburgh Pirates for
or the Royals.
If you don't make all the right moves. Yeah. Brewers and Pittsburgh were in the same position about a month and a half ago.
Yeah. And they went and got Archer Brewers out of it.
Right. So sorry, didn't mean to break your flow, but yes.
Yeah, and if you look at this is you have to build for several years when you're one of our teams. When you're the Kansas City Royals, you have to make lots of good moves. You have to go get, you know, Aoki and Kane, and you have to trade away a big guy, and you have to hit on all the picks that you get, and you have to go build for a couple years, and then you put together a team, you make one magical run, and then, you know, 3 years later, they're one of the worst teams in baseball because you can't sustain it in the mid-markets because it's not possible. Because the Yankees,
you can't sustain it outside of Boston and New York, Houston,
or the Dodgers.
Houston's the fourth largest market in the United States, maybe even third by this point. It's San Francisco and Houston are, you know, after, you know, Boston's like eighth, but New York's number one, LA's number two, Houston, San Fran 3-4, Boston like around 5-6. I mean, Minneapolis, St. Paul's the 14th largest market. It's much bigger than Kansas City and Milwaukee.
Here's...
Or South Chicago. These teams can't maintain. I mean, the only reason why Houston is where it is now is because it bottomed out for 3 years.
Well, let's look at this.
New York and Boston are the only two teams that can get away with just, and Boston couldn't even do this until 10 years ago. And it's New York and New York only. They just go and buy all the best players. They're Alabama of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and here's the I'm looking at SportTrack at the top payrolls in baseball this year. It's like Red Sox 1, and then the Giants somehow are 2, and did terribly this year. They just got a lot of guys they paid a couple years ago, and now they're stuck with it. Mm-hmm. Then Dodgers, Cubs, Nationals, and then Yankees. So the top 6, you've got, you know, 4 playoff teams out of the top 6. And then you got the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. because I just love throwing money away. Cardinals at 8, Astros at 9, Mariners at 10.
Yeah, and how about that?
Rockies at 13.
I'm sick and tired of hearing that. Well, the Cardinals make it as a mid-market team.
They're at 8. They pay $163.8 million, basically. And the Brewers, if you roll down to number 22, $108.9 million, almost $109 million. They're getting less than half of what the Giants are paying.
Are the Twins above them or below them?
The Twins are the team immediately above them. They pay $115.5 million. But, and the big one, the Oakland Athletics are 28th out of 30 teams in payroll. They pay $80.3 million in payroll this year. And the Tampa Bay Rays had a great year. And in a division with two of the best records in baseball, they pay...
And the absolute worst. Anyways.
Yeah, and they had $68 million. I mean, they're nearly one-fourth the Red Sox payroll. So it's a different world. It's just ridiculous to try to tell these teams, like, why don't you just do better with it? Why don't you just make better choices? Like, no, it's not about choices. You only have so many options. The Brewers are doing this while paying Ryan Braun as if he was the Ryan Braun of 2011, and he just isn't. He doesn't get on the field enough. So for the Brewers to do this.
An argument could be made for Ryan Braun for the last week here.
He has been in September amazing. The fact that he went from a late August, like 10 home runs, batting 234 something to being 251, I think, and 20 home runs. Mm-hmm. Just such a great month, and he helped pull this team along. He single-handedly beat the Cubs in one of those games back there, but
yeah, when it was that nightmare stretch when it was going to be two games in Chicago and then three games in St. Louis, and they split with the Cubs, and then they salvaged the Sunday game against the Cardinals. It was basically Ryan Braun beating the Cubs 7-0.
Right.
I think he accounted for 4 RBIs.
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah, he was, and they're going to be playing, the Brewers are going to be playing the winner of Colorado and Chicago, and I'm hoping it's Colorado because... Yeah, I'm just done with Chicago, and also I like to see them lose because I don't care for them, and they're annoying.
And everyone's like, bring on the Cubs, and I'm like, you know what? We've had a pretty good swan song against the Cubs and the Cardinals over the last week here. If they're just done, I'd be fine because you know what? This is just setting us up for failure. You know,
the Brewers were 4-2 against the Cubs in September in a home and home series, and then won the playoff game, the play-in game, whatever the tiebreaker game.
Right.
So yeah, they've done very well against the Cubs in the last 30-40 days here. But I mean, like, I don't want the Cubs to win ever.
No.
Ever. No. I just want them to lose this game.
I don't want them to have the opportunity to beat the Brewers again.
No, that would be awful. I just want to, like, we put them down, let's let them stay down. I want to see them lose and I want to see them deal with that.
And that was, I got into a Twitter fight about that with someone today, too, because I think it was either Heller or Drew Olsen put out a poll question. What team would you rather play, Cubs, Dodgers, or Rockies? And I said, Rockies, no questions asked. I mean, Cubs, you're going to have to deal with the fans at Miller Park, which is always horrendous. Dodgers have legit talent. And guess what? You could roll out Clayton Kershaw two games in a 5-game series, and guess what? Clayton Kershaw is Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Clayton Kershaws. There's not a lot of Tim Verlanders. There's not a lot of Madison Baumgartners. They show up. And
I think
they can shut it down. And then there's the Rockies, and the Rockies have some really good players, but the Rockies are more comparable to the Brewers. They're getting there on grit, which
and having the 13th highest payroll.
Oh, the Rockies do?
Yeah, they're somewhere up there, I think I just saw.
No way. Really?
Let me pull up again.
How much is Todd Helton making this year?
That's more than what I've got in front of me.
That was a joke. Come on.
Todd Helton. Either way. The secret answer is, of course, that who do you want to play in the next game? The answer is you want to play the team that lost.
Right.
Whichever team loses was the worst team. You want to play that team. But that's not who we're
getting. That's actually part of the reason why I hope the Rockies win, because they're going to have flown from Colorado to Los Angeles to Chicago, And then are they going to actually fly home to Denver and then fly back to Milwaukee the next day? Or are they just going to be flown all – I mean, at some point, it's going to, the jet lag is going to catch up to them too. Just like the jet lag of playing 42 days in 40 – or 42 games in 43 days caught up to the Cubs at the end here too.
Yeah.
So –
that's true.
Whatever's an advantage to the Brewers, let's do it. You know.
Yeah. What I want is the Brewers to win. Colorado Rockies, 13th highest payroll, $143.9 million, basically $144 million.
Wow.
It's $143,968,544.
Mm-hmm.
That puts them above the league average of $139 million. The Brewers paying, you know, roughly $30 million less. So, yeah.
Hey, by the way, side note on the Brewers, how great is it that Corey Knable got his head back together? Because for a while there, we thought Knable, I mean, when we were just starting this podcast towards the beginning of preseason football, Knable was melting down on a regular basis and actually went away for a little while.
Yeah, he had to go down to AAA. Figure things out. And that's good. Not a lot of guys come back from that, having been a closer to losing it to coming back and doing it again. And he's looked great. They've all looked good. Just things have looked so good for this team. I'm very excited. I think we'll still be talking about the Brewers when we come back next week, Aaron. I think we'll not just talking about them, but I think they'll still be playing. I think we'll be projecting another game by the time we come back here Monday. Well, because the playoffs will still be going on, because we'll still be in the NLDS, but I'm very excited. I think this team is going to get out of the NLDS. I think we're going to be talking about NLCS possibility here of who they're going to be facing at that point, and then whether or not they can win that series. But this team's got a shot. Best record in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I want to leave this week is, you know, Brewers have the best record in the National League. They are going on to the playoffs. They are going to have home field advantage for whatever series they play from here on out. It's great for the city of Milwaukee. It's going to be great for all the businesses around Milwaukee. It's just going to be, it's just a wonderful, incredible experience. And because we live in a small market sort of town, because we root for a small market team, we have to take these and accept them for how wonderful they are, because you're going to get spoiled by the fact that we've had two division titles in the last 7 years. You know, it's like, it's so good to see it. And it's a great group of guys.
Milwaukee is a beautiful baseball town. It's one of the best baseball towns. The fans are awesome. If you've ever been to a game in Milwaukee, you know how great it is. The tailgating, everything else. Their fans are smart, just like Packer fans are. They know the game. It's one of the worst teams on the ESPN's misery index, and for a reason, because of the amount of losing for the great seasons. And it's a great stadium, great town, great fans, and let's enjoy this. Let's have fun. I'm getting down to Milwaukee for at least part of the series because I want to feel the energy. I was at the 2011 game against the Florida Marlins when they clinched the Central that time, and I was going to say something about that too. Zombie Ryan Braun, I watched Ryan Braun put a home run about halfway up the scoreboard in dead center field in that 2011 game against the Marlins in mid-September or late September to clinch the division. And, potentially clinch the division. And then we all sat there and listened to Bob Uecker call the Cardinals game. We listened until they actually won the division. And the players sat on the infield and we all sat there and listened. Like, everybody was just listening to the game. And, so Braun being clutch, I've seen it before. I mean, I hope this actually will finally break a streak of the Brewers winning every so often. And this is a great franchise, and I hope we can keep these kids around, and I hope they go far. I really do. And I'll stop pontificating at this point.
It's been great, and it's been wonderful to watch. And if Yelich is not the MVP, then it's a massive injustice. And I'm just very excited for this team. They've been top 10 in attendance, even in years where it's been bad. So wonderful times to be a Milwaukee Brewers fan, and we need to appreciate this and be very, you know, thankful and grateful for everything that we've seen this organization put together for this team. And thank you, Mark Attanasio, for giving us this feeling, this excitement about having baseball be meaningful in Milwaukee again. So,
And the Packers and Brewers outscored their opponents 33-0 on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Why can we be mad?
Yeah, I know.
Just 2 weeks ago, also, it was the end of the world. Because the Badgers had lost to BYU. The Packers had lost or tied.
It's going to be fine. And just to cover that briefly, the Badgers are going to beat Nebraska because Nebraska is god-awful and they just lost to Purdue. Yeah, the Badgers are going to win next week. Packers are going to win next week. Brewers will still be rolling next week.
There's your mini preview of the Badgers game for this week.
There we go.
Good luck, Scott Frost.
Winnable game. All right, everybody. Remember, you can find us. I'm at jbarn54. Aaron is at Cheddar Talk. You can find the show at ScottyJohnny1. You can also email us at ScottyJohnny@gmail.com. And remember, whether you're on the town or on the go, it's always on Wisconsin.
Surrounding you. Yes. Take that.